Welcome to Hack the Entrepreneur, the show which reveals the fears, habits, and inner battles behind big-name entrepreneurs and those on their way to joining them. Now here is your host, John Naster.
Hey, welcome back everybody to Hack the Entrepreneur. I am so glad you decided to join me again. My name is John Naster, but you can call me Johnny. When I set out to start Hack the Entrepreneur, I immediately sat down and wrote a short list of people I wanted to interview someday. Today's guest was number two on that list. He is a former lawyer and serial entrepreneur based in Boulder, Colorado. In January of 2006, my guest started a one-man blog called Copyblogger. Copyblogger is now an eight-figure-per-year media company called Copyblogger Media, of which he is the founder and CEO. He was ranked among the top in the world for social media and content marketing. He's been featured in countless books about business and media, and he has graced many stages. Today he is here. Now, let's hack Brian Clark. I want to thank today's sponsor, FreshBooks, for making my life easier. What is the one thing that I am no good at? I am horrible at staying on top of my bookkeeping and accounting for my business. But now, rather than losing the receipts and handing my accountant this giant, messy box of papers, FreshBooks has this amazing app for my iPhone and lets me instantly just take pictures of receipts and sort them by touching a couple buttons. FreshBooks is designed for small business owners like you and me. FreshBooks integrates directly with three things that I use every single day in my business: PayPal, Stripe, and MailChimp. To start your 30-day free trial today, go to freshbooks.com/hack. And don't forget to enter Hack the Entrepreneur in the How Did You Hear About Us section. We are back with another episode of Hack the Entrepreneur. And holy smokes, we have Brian Clark today. Brian, thank you so much for joining me.
Is there a fire? I mean,
no, just
you. No, I appreciate that exclamation and the invitation to be on the show. I've been digging it, listening to it, so it's an honor to be on it.
Oh, I appreciate that. Okay, Brian, let's jump into this. Brian, as an entrepreneur, what is the one thing that you do that you feel has been the biggest contributor to your successes so far?
That's a good question. I think there are many viable answers. Am I restricted to one?
Not at all. No restrictions for you.
I think two things jump immediately to mind, and I'm actually kind of working up a piece for my new project, which is an email newsletter that I started about this topic. So it's kind of top of mind, no pun intended, as you'll find out. But I spend a lot of time thinking through issues and then taking action on what I deem to be the right decision. And that to me is my definition of productivity, taking the time to make the right decision and then acting on it and not spending a lot of time going in 50,000 different directions. Now, people from the outside may go, no, you're always doing something, you know, but it's all very well thought out. And we really haven't had a huge mistake or a blunder or a product that didn't sell. You know, it kind of sounds like a conservative strategy. And yet I just think it's a very rational and methodical approach to making the right moves. And I think a lot of entrepreneurs think that if they're not going in 50 directions at one time, you know, the classic version or vision of productivity, just cranking things out left and right, scatterbrained, and then people wonder why they fail. You have to take time to think. And the other thing I'll add to that is when things don't go exactly how you thought they would, you have to adapt, and you can't get hung up on what you were thinking was the plan, because the real world will tell you what the real plan is. Now, you strategy, tactics, think it through very well. But once you get out there in the real world, just adapt in real time. And that's the beautiful thing about the internet, because it allows all of us to do that.
Mm-hmm. So thinking through and making the right decision, how do you, Brian, like come to that? Like, is it a gut feeling you follow, or is it more analytical in a sense of I need numbers and spreadsheets and...
Yeah, no, I am not a big spreadsheet person. I am highly analytical, but it's more an analysis of people and what they want and what their problems and desires are. I mean, that's the root of all marketing that works. It's the root of all copywriting, which I've been a student of for a long time. And it's the root of all great content that actually works as marketing in the sense that we try to do it. So I think I spend a lot of time watching, listening, digesting, and then acting. And I think a lot of people have an idea and they act and it doesn't go well. So they push harder on it instead of adapting. So I think that's the best way to sum up the contrast between the two things. And the other thing, of course, is analysis paralysis, which I did suffer from 94 to 98. This was when I practiced law and I hated it and I wanted to do something online. And it took me 4 years to do something. And I still kick myself for that, but everyone has their own path.
Yeah, analysis paralysis. And it's two very, I mean, obviously polar opposites, but I need to be a little bit selfish because I had some time from my business. There was like a lull and I had a couple sort of months downtime. So I took some smart people's advice and started a podcast last summer. This podcast here kind of took off on me more than I expected, which has made me running and scattered and busy.
Oh, it happens. But my guess is everything from the title of the show to how you executed on the launch, all of that was during that run-up period, correct?
Mm-hmm.
It was. And so once you go, you're going to be running, sure. But I think, so what I'm referring to is the planning phase to launch is very methodical and well thought out. And if it turns out I can't make it work, we don't do it.
Right. That's smart. And I even had a plan that after 3 months, that was what I was giving myself. If it's not, doesn't have traction, I'm not the kind of person to just keep pushing and pushing and pushing, especially on something like that's a content product, right?
Yeah.
I was just going to be like, okay, I hit the market wrong. I need to tweak my branding and maybe a slight format change and see what relates or resonates with the audience. And this one was the one.
Absolutely.
But now, so just to now, because you created something, Copyblogger is, I mean, what, 8 figures last year as a media company. It's amazing. And you started it as a one-man blog. And now I'm a one-man show trying to create a media company around hacking the entrepreneur. Yet it's hard because you get so busy running. I've got an assistant now. But you know what I mean? Finding that time to step back, decide what we should do, where we should go with our content, how we should build and grow is a really hard thing when you're stuck also in the moment of, I have 12 interviews to do this week. I have 3 shows to publish. I have to work on this book. I have to, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's, that's the tricky thing. How do you make...
We're turning this into a case study of you all of a sudden. Geez, this is pretty cool. But no, that's cool, actually. It's less abstract. But why are you doing so many shows in a week? I mean, I understand the batching approach, but I never do that because I'm CEO of an 8-figure software company / media company. And that's a big job. So I'm just realistic about what I can do. I am upping my podcasting and allowing to do more interviews like this and things like that because I really want to. I'm really into it. And in this phase of the company, I think that's the most important role for me. But getting here, you have to allow that time for yourself to be CEO, even if you're a one-man show, because if you don't, you're not going to grow. Hey, that rhymes.
Right.
We should write that down.
Yeah. And I agree. I feel like I'm not in a position where I can dictate when the interviews take place. I have 12 interviews this week, but I have, I think, 2 next week. And then I don't have any for a couple of weeks because I have 2 months worth of shows done.
Yeah. That can work too. I mean, the 12 in a week is tough.
It is.
But if you can pull it off, that's smart. As long as you have the discipline to not do anymore, let it ride and then go work on your business, you know.
I need to, because otherwise I'm 6 months backlogged and it's crazy. Like, I'm still releasing some episodes from September because before I launched, I went seriously hard. I wanted to make sure I had enough and that I could just keep up, and that I didn't want to be that, oh, 6 weeks in and like now he hasn't published for 3 weeks. It's pointless, right? So, okay, let's get back to you, Brian. Sorry.
this is actually good. I think this is probably more useful than talking about me.
No, because you're doing some amazing stuff. And we need to find out why and how.
I just told you. I told you everything.
It's that easy. Okay, but let's move to work. So you spend your time as the CEO and founder of Copyblogger Media. You have quite a few employees. I'm not sure how many at this point.
Me neither. But I'm meeting them all next week. So many for the first time. Because we are a virtual company. We're everywhere in North America down to Brazil. A few people in Asia. And that's amazing. And it's amazing when we all get together. It's kind of, like I said, pre-show. It's kind of a constant comedy show the whole time. And we're all happy to go back home so we can actually do some work. But we have grown since the last time we all got together. So there's a lot of new faces. I think we're around 45 now. That's a good guess.
That's cool. Where are you guys meeting?
So we're actually meeting in Dallas.
Nice.
Which is where I used to live, and I'm glad I don't live there anymore, but it's fine to all get together.
Yeah, that's cool. Okay, so work. You are in your basement right now recording this, and yet you run an 8-figure company. I love this. And I love the distributed teams. But you, Brian, you obviously have a lot of thinking, a lot of planning, and a lot of action to take with the content you produce. Could you walk us through waking up this morning and say like your first 30 minutes of the day, non-work related, sort of just how you set yourself up to do the things that you do?
Well, that's an interesting question. So I've just, beginning at the end of last year, started incorporating like a 20-minute meditation to try to start the day. And I find it really helps because when I wake up, my old routine was basically coffee, email, social, distraction, and then have to shake that off, close everything, hit the to-do list, identify the most important thing I have to get done that day and tackle it, right? So it's pretty much still the same way, except there's less coffee and I don't allow the distractions to even come in. I know it's all going to be able to wait. You always have that urge to grab your iPhone first thing in the morning and check your email because something catastrophic happened during the night. But that's never happened, number one. And number two, if it did happen, I'm sure I would have some sort of like flares or carrier pigeons or at least text messages popped up all over the phone. And, you know, we just kind of talk ourselves into this need to be constantly connected or always worried that something's going to go wrong. Typically, if something goes wrong, people get a hold of me. So I've learned that it's better to clear my mind and focus how I'm going to execute on that really one important thing. Because kind of going back to our initial conversation, you know, shuffling papers in the name of getting things done, often, what does that mean? You know, answering all your email. I'm terrible at email. I am. I admit it to everyone. And yet we have a highly effective, profitable company because I focus on what really matters before I focus on answering your email. And I hope that doesn't offend anyone. I would hope that they would understand that if I were the complete person, I would be excellent at email and do my other stuff too. I'm working on it, but you know. If you had to choose, which one would you choose?
Yeah, exactly. And the email thing, I mean, it makes sense. And you're right. I think we overblow it in our head. We think that, oh, there's this giant catastrophe that happened last night and only myself, John, can fix it. And it's not the case. But then I'm stuck in my inbox and I'm not.
Yeah. See, once you get in there, that's the key.
Yeah, you're right. So meditation, that's an interesting habit and kind of an amazing, inspiring sort of habit that...
Well, and it's really amazing for me because it was just something that I just never thought was necessary or wasn't something someone like me would do. I'm a very no bullshit kind of guy. But if you can't read the news or, you know, turn on any media outlet without hearing about the benefits of it. So I just decided to give it a shot. And you do have to stick with it for a while to really notice the change. But it's real.
Is it the hippies out in Colorado that are getting to you?
I don't. Well, Boulder is so woo-woo that I look like.
It's rubbing off on you, Brian.
I don't know. I think I come across as like the most conservative guy in town because I'm like, what are you doing? And get your Subaru out of my way. You know, I'm just like, you people cannot drive here. You're off with your chakras or whatever. But so maybe, I mean, when I lived in Dallas, which is one of the most conservative cities in the United States, I was probably considered some crazy, you know, nonconformist. And let's face it, I was and am. But here, I'm just boring. So
all your neighbors in Dallas are like, it makes sense that he's moving out to Boulder.
Exactly.
And Boulder's like, why did he come from Texas? He so belongs there. Oh, well.
I tell people, because I lived in Austin before Dallas. So in Boulder, you say, if you say you're from Texas, they're like, oh, really? And I'm like, Austin. They're like, oh, cool, brother. You know, I mean, because that's the sister city, the liberal oasis in the middle of Texas.
Nice. So meditation, though, is a habit. Habits are hard to kind of adapt into our life. Is there, say, one habit, Brian, that you are trying to adapt into your life or adopt into your life, but you're struggling with it?
Yeah. You know, okay. So basically for 9 years with Coffee Blogger, that has been, you know, it's changed radically almost every year that I've done this. And I think it's the only reason why it's going on for 9 years. There's no way. I've never done anything for 9 years before, except maybe breathe. So
maybe
we always launched a new, you know, for the first year and a half, I didn't sell anything. But once we started launching lines of business, there was a new one every year. And then in 2010, we merged four companies together to form Copy Blogger Media, the current company, because we wanted to build something bigger. And we got that. You know, in the meantime, we built all the pieces and we sold the pieces to finance the, you know, continued development. I love the bootstrapping thing. I think if you gave me a big pile of cash, I might make bad decisions. You know, I just love the creativity of limitations. Not for everyone, not for every, you know, you're not going to start a biotech firm bootstrapping, but an internet company, come on now, yeah. You know, you yeah. should be able to get some traction if you're smart about it.
True. So can we talk about this merging into Copy Blogger Media? I'm really kind of fascinated about how you, I mean, Studio Press, and how did you decide, not only did you decide to pick, say, Brian as a partner and then to merge the companies, but what kind of thought process went on that you sort of thought or knew that Copy Blogger Media needed to go beyond where it was as the media, well, just like the blog at that point, and I mean, trainings yeah. and that kind of thing.
So let me give you a quick timeline without going on and on. So Originally there's Copy Blogger. That was me. Then Tony Clark and I in 2007 formed a new company together to launch our first product, which was a training program called Teaching Sells. He is now COO of Copy Blogger Media. Later, Sonia Simone also joined that company. She is now Chief Content Officer for Copy Blogger Media. In 2008, I partnered with my designer at the time, Chris Pearson. He developed the thesis, a design framework. We formed a company called DIY Themes, and that was my first foray into the WordPress space, and that was a huge success, multiple millions of dollars in revenue a year. And it's interesting because before that time, I would look at 37 signals and say, it's too bad I can't do software. And so I think that's an important lesson right there. Whether you have to go through funding or partnerships like I did, you can do anything in this connected economy, especially, you know, there's no limitations. And that's probably the most remarkable part of my journey from a mindset thing over time. Anyway, so 2009-ish, launched in 2010, Sean Jackson and I launched Scribe, which started out as pretty simple SEO copywriting software and evolved into more sophisticated content marketing software. Sean is now CFO of Copyblogger Media. In 2010, Chris Pearson and I went our separate ways. He continues to run DIY Themes, and Brian Gardner was really the first one to start the premium WordPress market. I mean, he started it with Revolution, and then after Thesis came out, they took a different approach, which I thought was a lot smarter philosophically, with Genesis. So when Chris and I split up, Brian and I started talking, and then finally the genesis, no pun intended, of the whole thing was, I've got all these smart people with different products, and we got me with the blog, but they don't talk to each other. They all talk to me. It was like a really inefficient hub and spoke situation. So we got together in a Denver conference room over the summer in 2010, and believe it or not, all those different interests, the only common thing was me. And Studio Press at that time was just Gardner's company. In 3 hours, we worked out the deal for the merger with everyone's equity and roles and all of that. And it was really just a matter of hitting it off, shared vision, and really wanting to do something.
Wow. That's amazing.
Didn't hurt. That was a, you know, first time that, well, not the first time, but it didn't hurt to be an attorney in that situation simply because I knew how to structure a deal. It wasn't overly complicated, but I think the real, beyond that part, it was really just the people. It was an amazing congruency between vision, what we wanted to do.
Yeah, that's amazing. I had no idea that you were part of DIY Themes at the beginning.
You didn't know that?
I had no idea.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Chris.
Chris is an interesting dude.
Chris did the first real copyblogger design March of 2006. We built a company or a site called Tubetorial. Kind of before YouTube got acquired by Google, we could see the writing on the wall about video. So we created a video tutorial site. 6 months later, we sold that for six figures. I used that to keep eating while we developed our first product. Chris went off and probably did all sorts of outrageous things that we don't want to talk about. But then Chris came back and he's like, I'm going to build this. I'm going to start charging for themes. Up until that point, like, everyone was giving away for free. And then 6 months later, he comes to me. He's like, look, I just want to code. I don't want to market. I don't want to sell this thing. You do that. I'm like, okay. And, you know, well, I was thinking about it. And then he said, this guy, Brian Gardner, is making, you know, 30 grand a month off of selling WordPress themes. And I was like, now that's, I'm interested. So, yeah. So really, in many ways, it was Gardner who got me into the WordPress space just by succeeding as a pioneer.
It's amazing. I had no idea. Yeah. I've always.
Yeah. We took Thesis from 10,000 a month to 10,000 a day in sales. It was a really huge hit. There was such a great congruency between the copyblogger audience, obviously, and what Chris had created. And we were WordPress users, and WordPress was hard. So Chris would figure out, or I would tell him, because I'm very non-technical, like, I'd get pissed off that I couldn't serve up an alternative title tag, you know, and he'd say, oh, that's simple, you know, and that's how the framework continued to evolve. And interestingly, that's a lot of how the Rainmaker platform, which is our big thing, after years of having very smart people not letting me do anything technical or design or anything, I was frustrated. So I alluded to that new project I'm doing. I'm doing that all by myself, and it is so much fun to me, just like the old days. I mean, I started in the 90s. I was hand coding HTML and FTP, right? So it's not like I didn't know how to do basic stuff. But as things move on and you get other people involved, as you should, John, to do the job for you, sometimes you get that feeling like, man, I kind of missed it when I could do stuff. Does that sound weird to you? Because
No, it doesn't.
It's probably the opposite of what most CEOs would think. But I think I'm a writer and a builder, and I love building websites, and I get to do that, of course, still on a much grander scale than I could ever do myself. But it's kind of fun to do something simple and just be able to do everything yourself.
Exactly.
So I became user case study for Rainmaker usability as well.
Yeah, and I agree. And I think that's why I kind of took everything on with Hack the Entrepreneur myself, because the business before that and the business I'm still in is like Velocity Page with Mark Jakewith, right? I mean, yeah. He built WordPress or yeah. good part of it.
Mark is awesome, by the way.
If yeah, I mean, and to go back to what you said about like partnering with
Mark
a technical person.
Chris Pearson, when you think.
And I have no idea about it. I literally just went to him and asked.
Yeah.
Made this offer and he was like, yeah, okay, let's do it. Right? That's amazing. But it was just asking. That's all it was. Mm-hmm. And it's funny because it was modeled on yours. And I didn't even know that. It was the way you've done it. But now I'm back into it. I get to do it myself. And that's why Rainmaker really intrigues me, because I actually have a guy that works with us on Velocity Page and he does the technical stuff of Hack the Entrepreneur for the site for me, because I still can't do it. Mm. But, and he's already talking to your Rainmaker people about getting us moved over fully to that. So it's something we are dealing with, but we have to get rid of some plugins apparently and do some stuff.
Nice.
Whole different thing. Okay. So Rainmaker, let's talk about this, because as a project, I would just want to know what the thought process is now for you as the CEO of this giant company. Before Rainmaker.
Hardly giant.
It's doing 8 figures. It's pretty big. Okay. But you've picked your products right. You've picked your services that you sell right. You do the Live Authority. Those all were very much, they made sense. Rainmaker to me is different, but it's not. And it's beautifully done because it's for your market, but in a different way. It's not teaching them to write anymore. It's not teaching them to... but it's giving them a platform to produce content.
Right.
But how does this come across your desk? Because I'm sure lots of things do, and through your inbox, even though you don't read them, still these ideas of new things that you should take on, that the company should now do, and I'm sure you say no to most of them. How do you decide that, yes, this is something that we should act on?
Well, this was the thing that we wanted to do in that Denver conference room. So this was... There's really only a few just company projects. First, we built a premise, which is the technology that powers membership and landing pages. And then we stopped selling that and completely overhauled it and turned. And that was it. But we built it always knowing this project, now known as the Rainmaker platform, was going to be the thing. For Synthesis, which is our WordPress hosting, we have to have hosted if you're going to sell a hosted SaaS product, right? So this is our methodology as a bootstrapped company, which is create the tech, use it ourselves, and sell it to people, which keeps us going, you know, until we can put the whole thing together. So from a development standpoint, it was 4 years, which in internet time is a generation. And yet it worked out perfectly because I don't think the market was ready for it any sooner. The things going on with HubSpot and marketing automation and all the very expensive solutions, they're completely out of reach for the small business that we're reaching. And yet we're going to be able to provide that same sort of functionality to them at a price that they can afford, along with supplying them with writers and designers and strategists. And we're trying to create an ecosystem here around our platform. And that's why 2015 is going to be more intense than a very intense 2014 when we actually launched the thing.
Smart. And let me repose the question now as a case study of Brian, as in further.
I didn't answer your question at all, but yeah.
Right. But that's a big, massive thing. 4 years.
But the criteria for how I used to choose partnerships is something we could definitely talk about, because it's very squishy, but... you know, Chris and I were the only ones ultimately who didn't work out, and even we parted, you know, amicably. So let's just put it this way. I've said no. I think Steve Jobs said something like this, that what you say no to is more important than what you say yes to. I said no to a lot of stuff to arrive at the stuff I said yes to.
Right. And I guess I was just trying to figure out the no's. I think once you figure out how to say no, that's great. But then from seeing somebody like you that seems to say yes to the correct things. But so now something on a smaller scale, it doesn't take 4 years because you're right, that's an internet generation, but you started the new newsletter, the curated email newsletter further, like in the last couple of weeks. How does a project like that just pique your interest and be like, that's something that I should do?
Well, that's interesting because it's the first thing I've done in 9 years that is purely a project I do anyway. It's like a personal blog to me, except that Brian, the entrepreneur, can't help but somehow tie it in to the existing business. So, of course, it's on Rainmaker. It's a demonstration of Rainmaker as it evolves and gets more sophisticated. It'll bring in more features. I'm doing on my podcast a case study of what I'm actually doing, taking people behind the scenes, why I did it, what's working, what's not working, what am I doing next, all of that. So it's a purely passion project for me. It definitely is in a niche that could be a bigger company than Copyblogger someday, but I'm not really worried about that too much. I just enjoy doing it. And of course, the case study thing, I think, will probably be some light bulb moments for people. And they may sign on to Rainmaker because they're like, oh, I can do this and I can do this myself. And it's, you know, within my reach.
Yeah, smart. Okay, Brian, success in the future. Your annual revenue increased 34% last year over the year before. That's impressive. You did your first authority conference last year, which I think was a huge success. The second one coming now with Henry Rollins speaking. That's amazing.
That's especially impressive to you.
It is.
More than some people are like, who's Henry Rollins? This is a funny story. You'll love this.
Okay.
So our CFO, Sean, lives in Dallas. He's our token Republican, as we call him. but, you know, he's just a very conservative, traditional guy. And so everyone in the company, when I said we got Rollins to do the closing keynote, is just over the moon. And Sean's comment was, oh, yeah, my kids watch a show on the History Channel.
Oh, my
God. That's all he had. Yeah, it was so funny. So
you guys really like the History Channel, don't you?
Yeah.
I saw him.
Of course, Dan Pink got a show, too, on Nat Geo. So we've got two keynote speakers on basic cable.
I don't want to detract from Dan Pink. It's Henry Rollins. And I know what that means to you as well. I know.
That's the whole reason to put on the show as far as I'm concerned, but don't tell anyone.
But you had a huge year. So what is it that you are looking to accomplish with Copyblogger Media and Brian Clark this year, since we're sitting at the beginning of a new one right now?
So really, last year was about getting Rainmaker launched. Basically, interesting year because we're a text blog that taught people how to write primarily. And we launched our go forward service with a podcast. And I think that's an important lesson about the direction of content that you're probably already kind of clued into, just a guess. But so we did it with a podcast so that we would get the people that were really interested and really paying attention. Then we invited those people into a pilot program with like this great deal, as long as they would give us feedback. By the way, we've launched every single product that way. It's wonderful because you're rewarding your most loyal, attentive customers. They give you feedback. You rapidly iterate the product or service, as the case may be. And then you're ready to go with a vastly superior thing. So we were actually able to go from April with version 1.0 to version 2.0, which was a massive job by September. The interesting thing that some people don't realize is before September, we never mentioned Rainmaker on Copyblogger at all. Our flagship, the blog that made it all possible, every single line of business. But once we did launch it, it was vastly better. And that launch had a lot to do with how we got to 10 million.
I love it. If for some terrible reason your career ended today, Brian, would you be happy so far with like the legacy you've got to leave?
You know, I'm not sure. That's an awesome question. I'm not sure that general legacy is something that I think about too much. I kind of scoff at entrepreneurs who say, I'm changing the world with my marketing app, or, you know, if I make $1 billion, I'm somehow immortal. No, you're still dead. Okay. And what matters most is the people you love and the people who love you. But from a business standpoint, I think, so is it my total career or just Copyblogger? Because I intend to keep going no matter what further, get it?
Yeah.
But if it were all done, the legacy that I would be proud of would be the 45 families that were able to provide for with employment, to provide people with autonomy in the work that they do, to hire smart people and let them be smart without micromanaging them, and getting all the great results out of that that you would hope for. A lot of people wonder, how can you, you know, how can you manage people when you're not standing right over their shoulder in a cubicle? And I'm like, I don't. You don't manage people, or you've perhaps hired the wrong person. We do communicate quite effectively, and I think that's really the key. But the fact that I, you know, I get emails from our people who say, thank you for providing such a great place to work, to do interesting things, that to me, that's my legacy. Maybe they'll remember me and they won't say bad things about me.
Beautiful answer. I love it. Brian, thank you so much. In case somebody out there doesn't know how to find out more about Brian Clark, could you just tell them where to go?
Well, copyblogger.com is the, like I said, the hub of everything. If you're interested in the Rainmaker platform, the sexy URL for that is rainmakerplatform.com. And if you're interested in my new email newsletter, that is further.net. So take your pick.
Excellent. I'll link to all. Yeah, exactly. I'll link to all of those in the show notes, and people will hear more about Rainmaker Platform on the show as I make the switch over. Brian, thank you so much. Thank you so much for joining me. I truly appreciate it, and keep doing what you're doing because it's inspiring and it's awesome to watch.
Pleasure's all mine. Thank you.
Brian Clark. Oh boy. Thank you. Thank you so much for taking the time to do that, for sharing with us in the way that you did, and just for everything. As a little aside, right after this conversation, our conversation kind of went somewhere else, and there's some really kind of big and interesting and just downright awesome things happening between Copybloggers and Rainmaker and Hack the Entrepreneur. And I'm just looking so forward to getting this details out to you. And it's going to be really, really, really interesting. And I'm blown away by it, and I'm looking so forward to getting it out there. So I do need to thank you for that again, Brian. And so to the conversation, though, Brian just, he ended up at one point using me as a case study, or as I guess I led it that way, me and my selfish ways of my podcast. But I really, the guy's a master of content, and I absolutely believe, like Jay Baer said when he was on the show, that every business, whether you like it or not, is in the content business these days, and you have to, or the media business, you have to understand it as that. And I don't know if there's anybody who understands it and who has taken it to such a level that Brian has with Copyblogger Media, and it blows me away. And I just couldn't pass up the opportunity. In case I never got to talk to him again, I had to use it. I had to use it. So even within my selfish questioning of Brian and trying to get the case study done of my show personally, he said a lot of smart things, didn't he? He did. But he said one thing. One thing. Did you get it? Did you hear it? Let's do it. Let's find the hack.
But getting here, you have to allow that time for yourself to be CEO, even if you're a one-man show, because if you don't, you're not going to grow.
And that's the hack. Brian, thank you. Thank you. Yes. And as you said earlier, yes, it does rhyme. And that's awesome. It's the first rhyming hack that we've had. But this is one of the biggest things that ever stumps me in my own businesses. And especially, like you say, with being a one-man show, it's hard to position or visualize yourself as the CEO, like CEO of what? My own self. But it's absolutely necessary that there are times where you have to run with it, you have to roll, you have to create the content, you have to build the business, but you do have to make sure to take that time to step back and to be the CEO, be the boss, and to big picture, think about what it is you need to do next, what it is that needs to happen next in your business for it to grow. I see this, I saw this so much offline, in the offline world where people just get stuck and their businesses never grow for years and years and years because they're so stuck just being busy. And now coming online, it's the same thing. And I see it over and over and over again. And I've been guilty of it myself. And that's honestly why I asked Brian, because it's something that I struggle with, whether it's the delegation or just the big picture forward thinking vision and taking the time to do that. It's absolutely imperative. And Brian has obviously done it from a one-man blog to an eight-figure business. He has definitely taken that time. He's not just preaching this and saying this is what you should do and doing something else. That's not it at all. So I truly, truly appreciate that, Brian. And just thank you so much for the brilliant conversation again. HackTheEntrepreneur.com, guys. This is the website. Once we unleash this cool news with the copy blogger people and Hack the Entrepreneur, I am going to have a new site up, so go check it out now. You're going to see a great picture that my daughter took of me in the Tokyo subway. And beside it, you're going to see a spot to put your email. Drop your name in there. Drop your email in there. I would love to be able to reach out to you every Sunday afternoon. I'm writing an email, and it's the best writing I do each week, and I would like to share it with you on that list. Also, you get the benefit. Hit reply to any email that I ever send you there, and you get right to my phone or right to my inbox. And we can have a conversation. I can help you in anything I can help you with, or just let me know what's on your mind. I would love to hear from you. Well, this has been a lot of fun. As always, thank you so, so much for taking the time with me. I truly, truly do appreciate it. And until next time, please keep hacking the entrepreneur.